you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in and listening in to the show tonight. And how's Robin doing? Are you there? Robin?
Yep, I am now. My I was being muted. I had to unmute myself, so I didn't know that I could do that, but I guess I can. So I unmuted myself.
So I was like, I know he's on there, but I don't know if he can hear me or I don't know what's going on. So how's it going?
Not bad. You know, it's another day in paradise. Just kind of going as the day goes and, you know, kind of keeping up with stuff and just busy. And I'm not sure how I stayed active with everything else going on with all this going on. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy right now, but still hanging in there.
Yeah, I know we got a chance to talk a little bit earlier today, and yeah, you're pretty busy.
Yeah, it seems like that, and then, you know, with my business, it's made a big change this year and had nothing to do with everything else that's going on in the world right now, but, you know, I knew this change was coming on about July or so of last year. I knew this change was going to happen, so it has, so it's going to take me 12 months at least to get out underneath of it, and so it'll just keep me busy about 10 or 12 hours a day at times, but that's all right, that's what happens.
Yeah, we still haven't had time to get your Xbox set up so we can play hockey.
Yeah, it's still sitting on the floor up there, I think. I'll have to clean the dust off it probably. In fact, by the time I get that one hooked up, they'll probably come out with a new one if they haven't already.
You know, actually, I think both Xbox and PlayStations are going to be updated this year. So, yeah, like around the holidays. So, yeah, they're probably... will be a new one out before you actually get yours set up. Yeah, and for anybody listening, we talked about, when was this? Wasn't it back when, like, the Black Friday deals and stuff were going on? I told you, I was like, you should get an Xbox and we can play.
Yeah, it was probably around that time frame. Yeah, that sounds about right. So, but that's what I mean. I left a little bit early today. I got out of here around 4:30, again this morning about 6:30, got out of here tonight about 4:30, went over to the storage garage, worked on some stuff there, then had to go to a fire trustees meeting, and then back over here, so, it's kind of a full day.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know you're busy when we talked earlier. I mean, it's just, yeah, sounds like it's just been a full nonstop day all the way up until now.
It's been like that since about, I think, March? February, something like that. Yeah, about the beginning of February and all, it's been kind of like that for us, but that's all right. I like keeping busy. I don't like sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah. So we got good news, though. They actually figured out who broke into Ashmore Estates and all that stuff. I think the last time when we talked on here, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we mention something about it, I think, like, everything kind of went down, and I think we might have mentioned something about it, but now we can get on here and actually say, hey, don't break into these places, and if you do, you're going to get caught just like these people did.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we even, I don't remember if we talked about it or not a couple weeks ago, but I know that, but yeah, it's, you know, these people are crazy. I mean, you know, and usually the people that break into these are not paranormal people. They're, you know, they respect the buildings, they respect locations. Every once in a while you'll get a new group that may do something like that. But, you know, but I've got so many cameras in that building. I mean, Coles County put probably the worst video I had out there. and they had call after call after call. They finally had to pretty much like put up the white flag and say, quit telling us. We already know who they are. And because they contacted me like 4 hours after they put the photos and the video up there and said, we know who they are and we'll be arresting all of them. And I'm like, okay. And but yeah, it was like they continuously got stuff. And the cool thing about it on that thread on Facebook with Coles County Sheriff's Department in Illinois is there was out of probably 200-300 people that posted stuff on there, there was a handful of people that said, oh, well, that's no big deal. It's just an old building. You know, I mean, I was really kind of happy to see that. It wasn't, they weren't taking the kids' side, so to speak. And
yeah,
a couple of them said something to the fact like, well, you know, they said that they damaged a car out there. I hope they can prove they damaged the car. So I actually posted the video and said, yep, I can prove it. So it's like, and then she's kind of like, never mind. Yeah, they did. But you don't want to, nobody wants to break in these buildings.
No. And keep in mind, any that try to do that, you're going to get caught. I mean, come on. You know, especially like that with, you know, you've got all those cameras and stuff in there. I'm surprised that, you know, they even attempted that. I mean, but it's good. Like, it was so awesome to see everyone come together. And, like, I mean, even when by the time I saw it, it had like 70 or 80 some shares. I mean, and it hadn't even been posted that long. So, I mean, it's awesome that everybody was throwing it out there, getting the word out and saying, hey, let's catch these people because they broke in and did damage, and let's catch them.
Yeah, I think it actually ended up being about 200 shares, and it was seen by like 30,000 people.
Wow.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was just,
even one of the news stations, I saw one of the news channels, was it out of Champaign or somewhere? I don't remember where it was now. Like, I saw that they had posted a thing about it.
Yeah, Decatur posted it, which is just about an hour away. And actually, it was kind of funny because Champaign Police Department contacted Coles County Police Department, you know, the sheriff's office there, and said, hey, we know who some of those people are because they're up in this area, and we'll get you the names. And so the police were working together on it, too. And then a friend of mine who's president of Crime Stoppers in Illinois, shared it out there. And it was like, you know, you don't mess with Ashmore Estates. I mean, it's like, you know, there's too many people that enjoy being there. There's too many people that worked hard out there. They're going to support it. And they're going to do what they can do to help find these people. And they actually got kind of lucky because I was supposed to put an alarm system in on Saturday. They broke in on Tuesday. The alarm system was missing two pieces when they sent everything to me, so I had to wait until the following Saturday. So I put a new alarm system in on Saturday after they got there, which alerts all kinds of people. It alerts about six different people and six different agencies and all that somebody broke in, and it goes off, and we've tried it. When the alarm system's triggered, we get notified within a second or two. And there's sirens going off everywhere. And in fact, the police department called me and wanted contacts because he said, we get called out there from the sirens. We want to know who to contact with everything. And what do you want to do if we catch them? I'm like, put them in jail. So, and they're like, okay, that's what we'll do. So, and, yep, so it's, yep. And I think anybody that does that with any location, that's what you need to do. You can't slap their hands. You've got to do whatever the law will allow you to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just with this there, I mean, you know, now word is going to get out. Hey, this is what you don't do. If you want to go to these locations, you do it just like everyone else is doing.
Yeah. In fact, I actually mentioned, I said that they caused about $2,000 or maybe a little bit over that $2,000 for the damage to spend about 40 minutes in the building. They could have paid $500 and spent about 12 hours in the building. So it's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, and so now they're going to spend a lot of money. They're going to get a record and have no fun whatsoever with that whole thing. Or they could have just spent $500 and spent the night there and had a good time.
Yep. I agree. I mean, you know, it's, but yeah, hopefully that will be the example to let people know, hey, if you're thinking about doing this, think twice because you're going to get caught. You're going to get in trouble. And like you said, you're going to have a record, you know, you're going to have that record, And yeah, it's going to be a whole lot cheaper for you to just buy tickets or rent the place for an overnight or however, and you'll be able to get in that way and not be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, tours that are a couple hours long. It would cost them about $120 to do 2 hours. You know, if they didn't want to spend an whole night there, they about $100, and they could have came in and wandered around for 2 hours in the place. So it's not worth it. And you know, if you just don't want to do that crime.
Yep, exactly. So do you get anything? Good. And that's something we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to let everybody know what's going on. We're probably going to get to that here in a little bit, because we're going to kind of tell everybody what's going on, what we're looking at, I guess. And then we'll bring Nick in. We're going to talk to Nick for a little bit. And then we'll probably get into, you have a lot more information on this. Well, we've talked before, and I'll probably leave that to you on like how much, you know, what all we're going to throw out there now. But I know that one of the things we're going to do is probably sometime this week, we're going to throw stuff out on Facebook and probably get together, and you'll be there and I'll be here, and we're going to do like a Facebook Live type thing and kind of make everyone aware on social media what we're doing and how they can help and all that good stuff. So yeah, we're going to touch base on all that stuff here soon. But other than that, there's some interesting stuff that, of course, tied into what we're going to talk about tonight with everything that's going on here, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be awesome, and it's going to be very helpful, and I think other people are going to love it as well. And I think it's just going to be awesome all around.
Now, Indiana's kind of loosening some things up a little bit, and you guys can be certain you'll be doing some investigations here before too long, aren't you?
Yes. In fact, we're going to be kicking things back up at the beginning of June. So anyone that's interested in booking private investigations, we can start getting booked on that. So if anything you're interested in from June on out, we can get you set up. You can just go to RhodesHotel.com and contact Crystal, give her a hard time, tell her that we told you to, and go ahead and get your dates and stuff booked. And on top of that, we got public investigations coming up. The next one is what was the date? I can't remember on it. June 6th. I think is June 6th. And we've already got half of the tickets are already gone. So we've only have 5 tickets left on that. I think everybody is ready to get out. So these are probably going to sell fast. And on top of that, we are going to be offering probably within the next week, I'd imagine, we're going to have public overnights that we're going to do. So we're going to have some overnights that you can do, and we're going to do those probably, we're going to give or take a little bit, they're probably guessing somewhere around 7 p.m. to 10 a.m. the next morning, kind of like the usual type thing of what we've been doing. We're going to only going to sell 8 tickets, though. 1 person per room for each of those rooms. And anyone that has been here on the public investigations know that we only did a handful of these in the beginning. We started doing those, and then we went to doing the 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. So I'm sure a lot of people are probably excited to know that we're going to start doing some public overnights again, scattered throughout the year, and only 8 people. How awesome is that?
Yeah, and even when the public investigations that are being done there, there's only 10 people allowed in. So it's easy really to kind of spread out in the building there and, you know, stay safe and everything as well. I mean, you could have half the people downstairs, half the people upstairs, and kind of flip-flop it. And so it's a safe place to go to. There's a lot of room to spread out. And so you shouldn't have any problem with that.
Yeah, it should be fine. Like you said, you know, we have plenty of room to where we can split everyone up, and there's all kinds of room. When we have 8 hours to get around the whole building, so we can do that in plenty of time for the night with splitting people up and just kind of going different directions and moving people around like that. But I'm kind of excited to do some of these overnights and stuff. I mean, before we did it, we were, I think we're still doing like 10 people, I think, when we did it. And we only did like a few of those in the beginning, right when we took over up here. And then it went, you know, to the point to where we started doing the 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. So there wasn't a whole lot of people that got to do the public overnights. So
yeah,
I think a lot of people are going to be excited.
Yeah, with the public overnights, there's beds in the rooms. And, you know, if you come with your girlfriend, boyfriend, both, whatever, you know, you can stay in the rooms. It's just that you're going to basically buy your ticket by the room. So there's most of the time there's a bed for two people in each room or two beds for people in each room. So, you know, there's plenty of time to get in there. You can, pick out the room that you like. You can stay there overnight. Just bring your own bedding and have a good time with it.
Yep, I agree. Definitely. It's going to be awesome. So without keeping everyone waiting and keeping, you know, our guests waiting, let's go ahead and get Nick on here and talk to him for a few. He's got a little bit of time for us that he set aside because kind of hit him up at last minute and just like, hey, you want to come on and just talk to us for a few? And luckily he was more than willing to come on and talk to us for a bit. So I'm going to pull him on and let's talk to him. Are you there, Nick?
Sounds good.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? What's up, Robin? How's
not
everything
too bad.
Going?
How about you?
Great,
good.
Nick. Thanks.
Things are going really good. Yeah, it's just been one of those days, you know, where time flies by and, I don't know, in isolation, but time flies by, if that's possible these
days.
Yeah.
Then you get somebody
there's always
up
things
last
to do when you're in isolation.
Yeah, I know. How are you both doing? You hanging in there?
Yeah. Doing all right. Hey,
yeah.
How's everything going with you?
It's going good. I just can't wait till we can get out and about and climb a mountain or something, you know, Mike? Like,
yeah.
Just conquer a river or, you know, run a Spartan race or something. I want to get back to doing that stuff.
Yeah,
it's
we got a lake
waiting
on us, don't we?
I know. It's weird when you have to, like, train at your house or outside or whatever. That's kind of what I've done to switch up routines because – you know, I was so used to going to the gym and, you know, doing different workouts, but you can't really do that now. So it's just strange world right now.
Are they pretty much locked down where you're at right now?
Yeah, everything is still locked down. Hopefully they start opening stuff up back really soon. They started, you know, to open up salons and haircuts and stuff like that, but you have to call and make an appointment and only so many people, you know, you can only have one person in at a time, and there's still restrictions on everything, but I'm hoping soon.
Yeah, at least you're able to get back to a little bit of reality and how things were.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I mean, to me, it's like second nature being locked down. I feel like I've been locked down in so many locations all over the world that it just becomes a blur at a point. But this is, you know, this is just something else. It's like, it's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah, you kind of wrote the book on lockdown.
I know, seriously. You know what it is? It's like, I'm not too worried about myself, like health and wise and whatever. It's more like I'm worried about, like, you know, my kids getting sick or my parents getting sick. You know what I mean? You start to worry about, like, other people around you. And it's just one of those things. I think you start to realize, like, how important your life is in the moment, you know, with everything else going on and how quickly your life can be taken from you. And I think you start to realize, like, how important it is to, you know, try to be happy, try to be motivated and keep moving forward and not let these things try to pull you down, you know, into a dark place or whatnot. And it's hard, man. It's hard for everybody. I think financially it's hard. I think it's, you know, relationship-wise it's probably hard. It's hard for all sorts of different reasons, you know, for people.
Yeah, I agree. I think you don't realize how important life is. We just had a situation about a week or so ago where a lady was at a local Casey's. She went in and got her lottery tickets and some other stuff, came out, checked her lottery ticket, found out she won. She was getting out of her car to go back inside and collect it, and a township truck came through came off the road, jumped the curb, jumped the sidewalk, caused all kinds of issues, hit the side of her car and killed the lady. And
wow.
I mean, it's just a sad thing. You just don't know when it's, you know, when it's going to happen. Here she was happy. She won, you know, she won some money from the lottery, and then she gets killed when she's going back into, you know, to get it. So life short, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like that's the creepy vibe of the lottery ticket, though. Have you ever seen that documentary on people winning, like, the mega bucks in the lottery, and it's just like everybody has ended up, you know, losing everything, or bad things like that has happened to them. It's kind of strange. I don't know. But it is, you know, it's just a weird part of life. Like, you know, you just have to love, like, the moment that you're breathing and doing and whatever it is. I don't know. I really live by that, you know, because it can be taken away from you really quickly.
Yeah, everybody always talks about, you know, getting up the next, you know, doing things the next day, and it's a terrible day. And I'm like, I'm just the opposite. I'm like, when I wake up, it's the best day of the rest of my life, because you don't know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, man, I think we all, like, the three of us have been super humbled. I think there's a big difference when you're, like, too comfortable sometimes. You start to realize what uncomfortable feels like, right? And you start to realize when you're uncomfortable how much more you want, like, want to work harder for something, or want to, like, do more things in life, or be more motivated. You know, some people just fall into the slump of, like, oh, everything is horrible. It's like, sure, you know, like, you know, people are born into this world with unfortunate circumstances, but, you know, it's what you make of them, I feel. It doesn't matter what you have, what you're going through, just how it's mind over body. You know, Mike, you and I talk about this all the time. It's like when we were conquering the mountain, Mount Washington. You know how many times, like, mentally you just were like, I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
You were breaking down because your body was breaking down. But I said, I'm going to be your best friend and your worst friend that day. I said, you know, the thing is your mind, your body is going to tell you it hurts and it's breaking down, but your mind is going to tell you, no, I'm not giving up. And you did it, man. You pretty much, you made it right there. And I think that's what it's all about, you know, like, I always look to you for, like, that motivational, you know, moments. When I think my life is bad, then it's like, yeah, but what would Mike do right now? What would Robin do right now? What would Rocky do right now? Rocky would give up.
Yeah. It kind of helped the fact that there was no elevator on the mountain where I could just be like, hey, I'll just see you guys at the bottom. You go ahead and work your way up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Checking out.
You probably were hoping for some snow so you could just slide down the side of the mountain.
Wouldn't that be crazy? You know, I was speaking of sliding down the mountain, like, just to go back at that for just a second, since you said that, I was terrified when they were carrying me on that stretcher. I was scared to death that they were, what if they slip and drop me? I'm strapped in. I can't get out of this. I'm going to go sliding down the mountain.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was creepy. I was talking to somebody the other day about that moment, and what I found incredible about that moment, regardless of the stuff that was happening, my body was so sore at that point, like, just carrying you a mile up the mountain, running to the top, running back, like, everything, right? And I just remember watching you. I was all by myself with my camera, right? And you in the search and rescue, they're lifting you onto the cog railway train on Mount Washington, and I went off and I just sat on, like, some rock that overlooked, like, everything in New Hampshire. Just you could see all around you. And I'm not joking, man. Like, in the front of, you know, the episode of Unlimited Journey for the Mount Washington episode, when you watch in the beginning where I'm just sitting there and then I get up, like, that was the moment that really struck me more than anything, you know, because, like, here we are, we just accomplished it, we went through everything, we had no clue how we were getting out of this mess, and just, like, everything, I don't know, it was like, you know, it's like the weather was bad for a bit, it was hailing up, it was cold, and it was warm, and it was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Then it's like that moment where I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the sunset, it's the most beautiful sunset in the world, just breathing in fresh air at elevation of over 6,000 feet, and I'm sitting there by myself just going, it's like the heavens opened up and says, you did it, you know, like, you accomplished something great, and this is an amazing moment to, like, breathe in for a second and understand you're alive. Those are the moments, man, that just, like, really hit home, you know?
And adding to that, you know, it's like when we went in and we started to do the climb, you know, we started that together, and then when everything scattered after I was injured and you had to go get help and stuff, I thought this is just going to end bad all the way around. But you know, it's like it's crazy because it somehow worked itself back around to where you actually got back down there before the train got up and before rescue got to us. And I remember we were sitting on that really huge rock there by, you know, like we were right back there together at the end, and we kind of finished it at the end together.
Yep. Yeah, it was a great memory. But not only that, huge accomplishment for yourself. You called me months prior and said you wanted to conquer a mountain, and dude, you followed through with what you wanted to do. I think that's the greatest part. Is like, you know, a lot of people talk but they don't do the walk. So it's a really cool motivational episode for anybody struggling in life or just wants to feel like, you know, like giving up. You watch that, man, you'll wake up like, I want to conquer the world, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I love. I really love the series for that. You know, I love it because, number one, we help kids for Lost Limbs Foundation, for your charity, and we help raise money, you know? And it's like, you're doing two things. You're doing one where you're helping people, especially kids, and then the second thing is you're helping motivate people, you know? So it's two great, impactful moments. I mean, should definitely be proud of, like, your accomplishments, man. It's awesome.
So let me ask you, Nick, how did you learn about Lost Limbs Foundation?
So it all started, let me think, when was the actual first time? Mike, did we have you at an event, or Robin? How did this first start? I think it was...
Yeah, it was
an
event.
It was an event, right? But wait, did you...
Yeah.
It wasn't a Nick Groff tour. It was something else where we met. And I think Lee Kirkland introduced me to you. I think that's how it happened.
Yeah.
It's been a long time now. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Mansfield
had,
Reformatory, Nick Groff tour event, Mansfield Reformatory back in 2014, I think. We brought you, or you... Lee brought you in, or you wanted to come out to the van. We had you at the van, and ever since we've been pretty cool friends, and just that's kind of how it started. And then I know you were doing it prior, but we really didn't chill, you know, until then. And then we started talking. I think it really hit with me, honestly, Rome, is like Mike called me and he said he was going to be in Boston at the Children's Hospital helping raise money for a child there. And I think I happened to just get back from the United Kingdom. No, wait, where was I? I was at a location and I came back. You called me and I said, you know what, I'll come down. So I woke up and I drove down to Boston and met you at the Children's Hospital and donated some money to help you for, you know, obviously the child there who was in need of...
Lost your credit card.
But what did the child need at the time? Because I didn't ever go up to meet, but...
Yeah, he lost part of his hand, remember, from a fireworks accident, and then, we were trying to help him with him getting a new hand. Yep.
Right, and I remember giving you my credit card or something like that to help donate money, and, like, I handed it to you, and we were sitting near the heater. And my card fell into the heater, you know, like those old heaters. I'm just looking at it like, well, this ain't good. I'm like, something's trying to stop us today from making this happen.
Yeah.
So I had to find, like, the hospital staff, which, you know, is always a pain in a big hospital. And they had to come and unscrew the whole entire heater and open it up so I can grab it.
Now, who dropped it?
That was,
Mike?
Like, the whole... It was like a slip of a hand or something. I don't know. I don't think it was anyone's fault. I think it just happened.
Exactly.
It was probably my fault, man. Who knows? It was just like, I went
so
to hand it off.
And
we're just
like,
oh. Yeah, that's
one of those.
You look at each other like, oops, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah, it was like a Three Stooges like episode, you know? We were just like, oh. It was scary because I'm looking down and we only had like maybe a minute, like a couple minutes to actually find someone, get somebody, open it up. Cause it was the fall time. So the heaters were on and I'm like, well, my car's going to melt fast if we don't get someone. We're on a mission.
Yeah.
So with Lost Limbs, because I mean I've been involved with doing things with them for a little while as well, but you might have had the same experience as I did, but is there a reason why you decided, hey, I'm gonna really reach out and help this charity? Was there a particular reason or something that happened that made you decide you want to help it?
Yeah, I mean honestly, I think it was just talking with Mike and understanding the story and understanding what's going on, because I think it's like one of those things where you really don't like some people, go in their everyday life, they really don't understand the awareness of like children and how expensive like prosthetics are and how difficult for some of these families it is to try to get the funds to make stuff like this happen. So I don't know. I think it was just sitting down with Mike after the children's hospital, and we had lunch, and you told me about your story, and you talked through about like really in depth what it was. And I think just really getting to know you and getting to know like, wow, he's actually a really cool guy. He's down to earth. He means well, and he's like on a mission. And I think it was the passion too behind like your cause and why you believe, like you just truly believe in doing what you're doing. And to me, it's like when I meet people like that, I'm like, I'm all in, like I love people that are motivated and passionate about like things they want to do in life or succeed in. And that just gets me all excited and stuff. And plus I have kids, so I was like, huh, I'm helping children. This is great. And, it's a great cause. And I think that's how it started for me, to be honest. I just was in the time of my life, to be honest, where I just wanted to do more. You know what I mean? Like I felt like maybe I wasn't doing enough positive things, and I just wanted to try to make an impact on doing more positive things. I think that's where my head was at. It was just good timing for me too.
Yeah, there's a lot of great charities out there that help kids and things like that, but I know myself, when I decided to get involved was because I can talk to Mike, and he's the one that runs the charity. I can ask him questions about where you're helping or who you're helping versus sending money away to a charity. I'm not going to name any names, but we sent a check for like $10,000 a few years ago to a charity and never even heard from them. I mean, they cashed the check. I know they got the money, but you never heard anything from them. But I know when I've given Mike checks and around that area, I mean, it's almost like brought tears to his eyes, and you just get that feeling that good feeling that you did something right, and you don't get that a lot of times.
Exactly. I think that's the big point about it. Is it feels very homebody. It feels like family in a sense. Like you're helping a family member. You're helping somebody who you really like, trust, and care about. It really does feel like that. I've worked with American Heart Association. I've worked with several different, like, massive charities, right? I've been to kids' bedsides who have cancer, and I've, raised tons of money for other charities and stuff like that. And it's all great, but I think you're absolutely right. It's like it really does get lost in the mix, and I get it. It's a big organizations out there trying to make, trying to do good things. I don't know. It just feels more special to me, I think, is what, like, you're talking about, too, is, like, now I'm 100% invested because I'm doing this Unlimited Journey series with Mike, so it motivates the heck out of me to, like, work out and be like, all right, I'm going to kick butt on this next challenge. And it's a good thing for me, my health, my balance in life, and also helping kids and doing what I can do with whatever I have, like, it's tough, man. It's really tough, like, to work with some charities because it's always, like, give. And, look, can't save the world, right? It's like it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm not a materialistic person or anything like that, or I'm no Bill Gates or whatever. But it's, like, it's hard because you can only give it whatever you have, right? But, like, I feel like this charity and Lost Limbs is just something more special and dear to my heart. It's like, I don't know, it's like family, at this point in my life.
It becomes more personal.
It does. It's super personal. I think after I did the Spartan Beast Race and Mike came out there and we filmed that for episode 2 and my sister came out and then I had the Shrek family come out and then Jeff was there. And Johnny Hauser was there. I don't know. I think that moment, I'm like, this is a crew. This is like Unlimited Journey. This is a little family
yeah.
unit. We're going to roll together. We're going to conquer things. We're going to raise money. This is awesome. I think that's the moment that really hit with me. And I was all like, I don't know. It's crazy. So,
but you
know,
kind of hit
like,
on it. Since you kind of hit on it, and you know, you brought it up, there's a lot of people that may not have heard about it, but tell us a little more about the Unlimited Journey.
Yeah, so it all started with Mike calling me one day, last year actually. Was it last year, Mike? And
yeah.
I think it was last year. The beginning
yeah,
of last year.
It was. Yeah.
He calls me up and says, I want to climb a mountain. I need to mentally do something to push myself even further before I get older, and I want to show kids, you know, not to give up and stuff. And I think Mike said something crazy like Mount Everest or Mount Kilimanjaro or something like that. I'm like, whoa, let's slow down for a second. I was like, why don't we try like Mount Washington or something where I know we can do it without rolling the dice on a roulette game. So we decided to do Mount Washington because it's kind of in my backyard. And I did it when I was a teenager or I think like 12. So I was like, I kind of knew it. And I knew we could get up it. And that's kind of how it all started. I don't think we were necessarily thinking of turning it into a whole series or calling it Unlimited Journey at the time. It just started like, let's get Jeff out there. We'll film everything. Elizabeth Saint came out. Jeff Walters came out. My dad, parents helped out. And we all just climbed and filmed it. And then it just, I saw it when we were halfway up the mountain. And I'm like, this is something special. I'm like, this is a show. This is a series. This is going to motivate people. You know, so that's when Mike and I started talking. We turned it into Unlimited Journey. And I was, after that whole accomplishment, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'm never doing this again. I'm like, I got the second. There was like a week that went by. I'm like, I know the next challenge, Spartan Beast. 14 miles, 30 obstacles. So that's how it's been. We've been just doing that, making episodes. And now it's up on VidiSpace, streaming on VidiSpace. Mike has a copy to show at different events he's going to do, and also it's going up, or it's up on Amazon Prime too. I think the second episode should be out there anytime now too. So, yeah, that's how it started.
So, any talk about the third episode? What you got in mind?
Absolutely. So I already knew the third episode before the second episode. But we reveal it at the end of the second episode when we're all sitting there after. We ran the Spartan Beast and we're just like in the hotel. And then we announced this, the third episode, which we're going to be doing when kind of, you know, the whole quarantine's up, but we decided that we're going to swim across a lake. And basically like a couple miles, I don't know how long it is, but we'll swim across the lake and film it. And it will be amazing out in New England here. And it actually started where I was like, let's swim to Alcatraz. That's how it all started. I wanted to swim from the bay, right, to Alcatraz. So my sister was going to do it with me because we've both been competitive swimmers since we were kids. Like, she went on full scholarship to U of A and stuff. And then her friend she roommated with, Trina Jackson, was an Olympian gold medalist winner for the Olympics in 1996. So I'm going to ask Trina, my sister, you know, all of us, we'll film it for a new episode out at like a lake cabin, fire and tell stories and all that good jazz and have fun like we do it. And then we'll swim the lake, you know. And yeah, my sister said she was going to, she was training. Quarantine happened. And she said, you know what? I give up on training. I'm just going to go in cold turkey. I go, good. Because we need someone to look like they're desperately slowly trying to drown, like the part where everyone's struggling. She keeps telling me, she's like, I think she was telling me at Spartan, like, I'm gonna kick your butt. I'm like, this isn't a race, Diana. I'm like, we're not competing like we were kids, you know. I'm like, we're just trying to get from point A to point B. But she's you think I'm crazy? She's crazier than me, but she's awesome. She's cool.
And for the record, I'm going to be probably in a rowboat. Like, I'm not going to be swimming because I'd, you know, one leg, I'd probably swim in circles, but, you know,
No, you're going to be on my back, buddy, like we do it usually.
You
just once,
do a backstroke,
you know?
Mike. That's all you got to do is backstroke.
What do you think I've been training for, putting you on my back during Crypticon, going throwing axes, and putting you on my back when we're walking on treadmills in the gym in Michigan Paracon?
Yeah, the
Mount Washington.
Between running on water.
Yeah. Mike, you can just lay on my back as I swim. Like, I'll be what is it? What was that movie where they do that? I forget what movie it is. I'm thinking of what's that movie? Not Merman. The Mermaid. You know what I'm talking about? That Mermaid guy? Oh, Aquaman. I'll be like Aquaman.
Oh yeah.
I just
lay on your back, read a book or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Or what's that movie? It's hilarious. I think it's called Cabin Boy. Was it Cabin Boy or something? Where he's like standing on top of the mermaid's back and he's like, "Let's go." It's some comedy. I don't know. I'm losing my mind. Oh man, we're gonna have some fun. Some more laughs to come.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be great. Definitely.
Yeah, man. We'll have to try to get Johnny out there. Johnny Howes is coming if you're listening.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you'd be better off staying closer to away from Alcatraz. I don't think those waters are real good to swim in anyway. There's a reason why they put that prison out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the mystery is maybe they made it, maybe they didn't. I think... Yeah, my sister said absolutely not. She used to live in Pacifica right outside of San Francisco for years. I've been to Alcatraz a ton when I was a kid, and you know, then I got to investigate it and stuff years later. But the waters are really rough. The current is super strong. A lot of people actually drown from the current when they try to swim it. There's people that swim it every year, and there's sharks too. So you know how it goes.
Jeez.
I mean, I'll fight a shark, you know?
That's what you don't need, Mike, is losing a leg to a shark. I mean, it just wouldn't work out so well.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I'd pretty much
be a floater.
Back, so, yeah, the shark will just try to get me. I'll be like, Mike, punch it in the nose.
Yeah. Take the crutches and smack him and make him swim up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep.
So Nick, what's going on with the Nikrov Tour and VidiSpace? You guys got some new stuff going on with that?
Yeah, I hope to get out to Ashmore Estates for Nikrov Tour coming up, but you know how it goes with this quarantine. It's like we're living in a movie. Nikrov Tour, we're scheduling – well, we had a bunch of events scheduled this year, and we were super excited about but we had to push all the events down, so – just keep checking the website, nikrovtour.com, and you can see all the schedules. Or on Facebook, we post everything on the Nikrov Tour Facebook. I'm excited. VidiSpace has really taken off. We're super excited. Streaming platform, Elizabeth Saint, Justin, and myself, we're working hard on new films right now. That are up there. There's over 500 films up there and a ton of original content, a ton of paranormal content, documentaries, different series, and there's some really, really big things to come this fall. So we're going to be announcing some big things coming up really soon. I'm super excited, you know, for what's to come. I think people will be too. There's a 15-day free trial. Anybody can sign up no matter where you are. Go to vidi.space. You can sign up 15 days free. And if you put in a code, I love space, all in capital letters, you get 50% off. So, we're excited. Come join it. Come join the experience. It's on all your apps. You can search apps on Android. It's on Apple TV, you know, your iPhones, your iPads. You can watch it on your TV, like anything else. Download the app, Amazon Fire TV or Roku and whatnot. So, it's going good, man.
That's cool. So, yeah, I've got my VidiSpace. I unfortunately haven't had a chance to watch that, and I don't watch a lot of TV or anything. But yeah, I've got it, so I can pop in there every once in a while when I see something you guys are doing, so I can check it all out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I know you're a huge supporter, man, and I really thank both of you, obviously, for all the support. And it's it's been wild. I really believe streaming is the future and cable isn't. I mean, it's just how things are going to go. You know, I've been saying that for 3 years now, and it's really taken off. So I'm excited, and I'm excited for I'm working on some really big projects right now that are going to come out this year. So I'm super excited for that next, you know, the next thing I'm going to be in. So I'm going to be announcing soon. So the new series that I'm going to be doing. So I'm excited, man.
Oh, cool.
Things to come are good.
Awesome.
Yeah, Mike and I have been working on some stuff out at Rhodes, and you know, Mike, you can kind of tell them what we're doing, what we're planning on doing out there.
Yeah, that was one of the things, like when we were talking about bringing you in tonight to talk, like we kind of want to show people, you know, how important it is, and I know that, you know, you've learned a lot of things, you know, from us talking. You learned how my life is, you know, and how, you know, it's probably for these kids and why we're doing what we do, you know, for the kids, and how important it is to show, you know, to help support the charity in whatever way you can. I mean, whether you donate a dollar or $100,000, it's the same. I mean, I'm grateful for whatever anybody donates, but we're getting ready to tackle a really big project here at Rhodes Hotel. And of course, a lot of people know that the charity owns Rhodes Hotel thanks to Robin's help. And we are at the point that the building is 126 years old, and it needs a lot of work, and it's not cheap. And we're at that stage, the windows are so drafty and some of them are cracked, and you know, they're just, the window seals are just really in bad shape. They're rotting out and stuff, and we have to replace the windows to help save this building. And that's where we wanted to turn to people to see if we can get some help and get some support, even small donations, you know, whatever people can do to help us to where we can do this and keep the structure safe with, you know, with the building and keep doing what we're doing and just, you know, try to keep this building in really good condition and safe for everyone to come in and investigate.
Definitely. Yeah, it's an awesome location, a ton of history. So I am excited to get out there in the near future too. Rhodes Hotel has just always been on my bucket list, you know, especially since we started talking and the both of you started taking it over, and you guys done a great job with it too, you know, just keeping it up, bringing it back to life. And a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is to keep these locations in, you know, in standing. So, great job. Everyone help support them.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be replacing all those windows, and we'll have it out this week. We're going to do some incentives to try to help, you know, sponsoring a window. You know, the windows are going to cost about $250 to replace each one. So we'll set up some sponsors where people can, you know, basically sponsor a window to help us, you know, help us with the cost of those windows, because this is a tough year, you know, for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's really tough because the investigations are cut back and things like that are cut back. So we're hoping we can, you know, get some help. But we'll have some incentives out there to do some things and make it worthwhile. So anytime anybody can share it, help share it, you know, what we're going to be putting out there is more than appreciated.
And anybody that just donates all the windows, I'll give you Nick Croft's phone number. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Never. Never. I'm kidding.
I know.
Be careful, because I know a girl that's not too far from Ashmore that would probably try to figure out how to do that. And she's probably listening right now. If she is, she'll comment on one of the pages that she's looking at. And she's working on getting that money.
Anybody that gets to the beginning from Nick, not me. Just everybody know I'm joking. Everybody's listening. I am kidding.
Just know I don't answer the call if I don't know the number. It happens all the time. Yeah, I wish you both nothing but the best. Obviously, you know, you have my full support. And, I mean, I hope to see you guys both soon. Obviously, Mike, we got a lot of things to conquer. And then, Robin, I hope I see you at Ashmore there. And then, obviously, the Rhodes Hotel. So I'll see you guys really soon in the near future.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Hopefully, an event sometime here soon.
Yeah, I know.
We
awesome,
won't keep
guys.
You any longer. I know we've tied you up for a while, so we appreciate it, though. So Thanks for being on with us, and we're gonna blab and talk to each other for a few more minutes, and we'll let you go, and then we're gonna call it a night. So, thanks again for being on with us. We appreciate it, and everybody check it out and check out Vidi Space. Check out everything that Nick's going, and doing and stuff, and Nick Roth Investigates and all that stuff. So check it all out.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks, Nick. Thanks. Night.
You too.
Bye.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Night. Bye.
Well, it's all always right, fun to talk to Nick and see what he's got going on and what he's up to and everything.
Yeah. When I told him, I was like, oh, well, we won't take long because, I know he's busy. And I was like, we won't take long. And, we kind of get carried away with the talking and stuff and all that. But it's just a fun time. It's a good time.
It's always good to hear what he's got going on, and he's got a couple. Sounds like he's got some pretty cool stuff coming up here in the near future, with another program or something too. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these. It's like, I hit the roadblock with my health and stuff, which sucks. But I'm hoping we find things that I can still do that would be challenging because. When we started doing this, I wanted to do something with, once we decided to make this a series, because, I'm getting older, I have more issues. And I even said in the second episode when we were doing Spartan, on top of my health, people don't realize, but I've always have all my weight on one leg because I'm always on crutches the majority of the time because just the swelling and trying to get into the prosthetic and stuff like that. There's going to be a day that this leg's going to start giving out on me even more, and it's going to make it tougher on me. So, I want to do something while I can, because eventually there's going to be that point to where I can't do it anymore.
Yep. Yeah, sooner or later that's going to happen. I mean, that's kind of like I am with some things that I've had issues with that just try to do everything I can when I can and as long as I can do it. And, I think that's what you got to do with life is just, go out and do whatever you want to do as much as you want to and enjoy it.
Yep, I agree. Definitely. So, we've got, 8 minutes left, so we're almost out of time. But, again, like we were talking about, we can use some help, from you guys. If there's anything you want to donate, you can go even to the charity website and donate on there and help us out, with the windows and stuff. I'm sure once when we set stuff up on social media, I'd imagine we'll probably even set up a fundraiser on there too, because sometimes it's easier because maybe, I find that sometimes easier because it's more convenient for people. They don't have to follow a link, go to the website, donate. If you have it on Facebook, you do a fundraiser like that, it's right there. They're right in the moment. They can just go on and say, I'll donate $1. Hey, I'll donate $5 or something.
Yeah, and we'll get that. We'll get it all put together this week, and because I'm gonna be ordering those windows here in the next day or so. Just waiting for a couple things to go through, and we're gonna get the windows ordered. And we're gonna be replacing basically the second floor and first floor windows. Gonna order them all. There's 23 windows that have to go in there, and basically, if you're sponsoring a window, we're going to put your name on the frame of that window. We'll probably have a plaque inside the wall, inside the building there, that we've got some things that we talked about with Crystal and doing some work with that, and with Mike's sister. And then we'll put together incentives and just to make it so that people think that they're going to get something. The more they donate, the better chance they get it. And it'd be great if somebody walks in and says, "Hey, I just want to buy them all," but I know that's not going to necessarily happen.
Yeah.
So. But if you do, we'll really work out a hell of a deal for you. So just let us know.
We'll figure something out. Yeah, for sure.
We're gonna get those, and it'll be a little while before we can get them in there because everybody's doing home improvement projects right now. And but as soon as we can get them, and we're gonna put them in there and get that place looking great. Even better than it does right now. But if you've looked at those windows like we have, they need help. And it's going to start rotting the building, and we don't want that issue. That's just a lot more trouble than we want to get into.
Yeah, and even in the cold months, I've had people, talk about how some rooms have, drafts and stuff in them, and that will eventually all be gone. You know, we're going to fix all that stuff here soon. And, sometime this year, probably within, you know, even with the stuff going behind, like you said, with, you know, everybody doing home improvements and, you know, how everything is now and stuff. I mean, you know, who knows, maybe before the end of summer, we'll have the new windows and stuff in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know that when I was taking them out on Saturday, and some of those windows, I start to take them out, I'm like, this window won't even shut. It was like an inch and a half open, and it's like, it won't even shut. And it's like, no wonder there's drafts coming in here. It's like, and a couple of them were so bad, I had told Mike and said, I took one of them out without even using a pry bar or anything. I just grabbed it in my hands and just pulled it and took it right out of the opening. It was so bad in there. So it's like, yeah, these need to... We need to fix these, and I know the first floor windows, some of those are probably even worse. So that'll be a project itself.
Yeah, and there's a few of them even upstairs that's just, you know, when you get windy days, I mean, you can go in there and watch the curtains just flopping back and forth. I mean, almost like a flag inside, you know, but there's so much draft going in a few of the rooms like that.
And we never thought it was a ghost.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you're looking at, like I said, the building's going to be 127 years old here in a few months. So it's due. It's due for some new windows, and we need to get it better with the structure and stuff by putting these in and all that. So hopefully we'll get some support for the getting that new project going, and then that will be probably the last really big project I think that we'll have in here for the time being anyway, I'd imagine, right?
I sure hope so.
That's two of us.
But yeah, so if there's a team out there that would like to do something, you know, if you've got 10 members in your team, it's $25 a piece, and we'll put your team name out there, and you know, there's enough room. You can probably put a website address on the window as well. So we'll look at some different ways to make it kind of cool. And you know, the sooner people start looking at windows, you know, they can even pick out which windows they want to want their name on. You know, so
yeah.
We can do that. We're going to do the second floor. I'm going to start with the second floor, and then we're going to do the first floor. But we're buying them all at the same time. So if you want your name on something on the first floor, if you want a particular room. We can do that. You know, keep in mind there are some rooms, like I think it's 1, 5, and 6, and 8 that have two windows in those. And 5 has one right now and probably have two, but the other ones have two windows in each one. So, so if you want that room just to yourself, you know, you have to buy two windows in that room. So we're looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. It'll be something that people get their name out on Rhodes Hotel and help the charity.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it'll be there forever as long as the charity owns the hotel.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be nice. I mean, you know, and I'm excited to get to that point to where we have all the windows replaced and everything, you know, and it's going to even help us in the cold months. It's going to help us with the heat bill and stuff. So, I mean, it's going to help all the way around, and then people are going to be, you know, I think everyone's going to love it. You know, no more drafts or anything, and yeah. It'd be cool.
And these windows will actually open, so you can get a little breeze in there if you want to, and there'll be screens on them, so not for about birds flying in or anything like that. So it'll be nice.
Yeah, so you have those nice nights that you book a full overnight or whatever, and you just want to open your window up and get some air when you go to bed. Got it. Well. We are down to a minute and 24 seconds, so I guess this is probably a good time to, you know, say thanks to Nick Groff for coming on and talking to us tonight, and of course, you know, thanks for tuning in, everyone, and always nice talking to you, Robin, and everyone tune in, because next week, you probably have your guest already lined up for next week, I'd imagine, right?
Yep, yeah, we're going to talk to Greg Myers and Sandy Oates about the Tri-County, it's an old gas station area that's a location that they've been investigating for years, and we're going to talk about that next Tuesday.
Awesome. So tune in same time next week. And Robin has his show to go on, and they're going to talk about that location. So guys, make sure you tune in, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks. So everyone stay safe, have a good night, and we'll talk to you next time. See you, Robin.
Night, everybody. All right, take care, Mike. Bye.
You too. Night. Bye.